Welcome to GVN Talking Comics Interview. On today's show, we welcome Injected Senses audio director Gary Miranda. Gary, along with his team at Injected Senses Audio, has worked on such projects as Epic Games' Fortnite, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Sun Blinks Heroish, as well as Insomniac Games' Ratchet & Clank. Now, here's your host, Martin Sexton.
Welcome to another edition of GVN's Talking Comics. I am your host, Martin, and today we get to explore another avenue of that broad and diverse genre of comics that we love so much, this time reflected in video games by talking to Injected Sense audio director Gary Miranda. Gary, along with his collaborators at Injected Sense Audio, have worked on such games as Marvel's Midnight Suns, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Epic Games Fortnite, as well as Sunblink's Heroish, among others. So we're going to talk to Gary about how he got started in the audio production field, his work with Injected Sense Audio, and how some of these great projects were brought to audio live. So let's welcome audio director Gary Miranda to this special audio edition of GVN's Talking Comics. Thanks for sharing a bit of your time today, Gary. How are we doing?
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is amazing.
All right. Lovely. All right. Okay. So since this is the first time I've had an opportunity to talk to you, we're going to delve a little bit into your background. So how did you get interested in audio production? And was it always something that you focused on in the beginning, or did it kind of evolve as you went along?
That's a good question. It did really evolve from the beginning. Like, it really did start as a hobby, just kind of like recording music and recording friends' music and recording bands. And it eventually evolved into, you know, me wanting to start my own kind of just recording studio just for that purposes. I ended up partnering with a studio down in San Diego for a little bit and kind of found a passion for post-production audio while I was there. Started working on more and more kind of post-production, you know, commercials, short films. We did some trailers and it started to kind of lead into more some video game stuff there. And it just kind of stepping stone my way there and kind of found my passion for doing, you know, kind of post-production audio, sound effects and mixing and dialogue and things like that.
Okay. So, what was your first job as a professional in the auto production business, and how ready did you feel like you were to jump in there?
I don't know if I ever feel like I'm ready. No, some of the first major gigs, I mean, like I said, I once I partnered with Studio West down in San Diego, you know, we were doing a lot of short film stuff. We started doing more and more kind of commercial gigs, dialogue, like ADR and dialogue replacement for actors that live in the area. When they didn't want to go up to LA to do their dialogue replacement, we started doing that for some of the guys that live down here. Some of those were the first gigs that I got, were, you know, working with actors on dialogue stuff. And then we started, like I said, getting into more trailers and outsourced cinematic audio for different games. So we had a few trailers we did for Sega. We did some stuff for the Red Faction series back in 2009, I think it was 2008, 2009-ish era. And we did some cinematics there. And yeah, I mean, it was definitely a jump up in like comfortability doing that, just kind of going from like being around musicians and artists and kind of a little bit more laid back and a little bit more vibey to like, we need this done now kind of feel. But I definitely like the challenge of it and the pace of it and the intricacies of the things that we had to do for that kind of stuff. It really kind of brought something to life with that.
Okay, so when it comes to developing sound for video games, because that's kind of what you're mainly into these days, so how much is using, you know, sound bites that you've already have been creating and you're just enhancing, or how much do you create on your own?
I hate to say it depends, you know, because it's kind of a cheap answer, but
right?
it really does depend on the scope, the time of the project, how fast we need to turn it around, that kind of things. But you know, it's really kind of hard to give a percentage depending on the game, but we try to do as much as we can that's in-house, like on our own. We try to, at least if we have to use like some library material, we will never just drop in a library sound unless like it's specifically told, like drop in the Wilhelm scream or something, you know. But like, for the most part, we'll try to, we'll definitely manipulate those as much as we can to kind of get little things out of it. But we'll always try to throw in like a flavor of ours or something that's unique and recorded and something special, so it gives that unique flavor on it, and give it that perspective, so it's not just, for lack of a better term, dragging and dropping sounds in there. We like to make things custom as we can within the time that we have for that.
Yeah, well, actually, it makes sense because if you were just going to just drop a soundbite in without doing anything, anybody could probably do that.
Right, right. Yeah.
So,
Yeah. We need some finesse on there. And the things don't always just work out that way. I mean, a footstep, even if something as simple as a footstep, might not necessarily match exactly if it's just straight up from a library. We try to get it as close as we can and massage it the rest of the way.
okay. So when you're working for different companies, do they limit you at all of what you can create, or do they give you leeway as far as what you can do as far as making a, your audio atmosphere?
Not really. I mean, the limitation really is the time, more than anything. And so if we have enough kind of front loaded time, we'll try it. We'll get in there and make it as custom as we can. Usually the restrictions there, if there are any, are going to have to be either like established sound relations. So like, I mean, if we're talking about Spider-Man or anything, even anything from the Marvel universe or even Star Wars, things like that, they have established sounds. And so, we have to kind of fit within that criteria. That would be some of our limitations, but usually if it's a new IP, or something that's a little bit more open-ended, we get as much creativity as we want, as long as the time allows it.
So this wasn't actually, but now that we're sitting here talking about, as far as time goes, I mean, do you generally, most of your projects, do you feel like you get enough time to work, or sometimes are they trying to really squeeze you in?
Off and on, granted, like we really try to get in as early as we can. That allows us to establish a lot of things, and everybody's got different paces, but we generally get a good amount of time. And thankfully, there have been projects where we're a little crunched, but we have to make do with what we got there, and we just work around it.
Okay, I mentioned in my opening, I mean, you have a bunch of major titles that you've worked on, and Fortnite and Marvel's Midnight Suns and such. But so when you're going to try to, you're trying to pitch yourself to land these types of projects, what do you do? Do you just give them some examples of your previous work? Do you create something specifically for what you think their project could use? Or exactly how do you go about presenting yourself to maybe get those jobs?
Kind of demo reel type stuff is very important, so they can see what our past work is, kind of in context, to that specific project. That's a big thing. A lot of our projects come from repeat customers, so it's stuff that we've done before. But really, the next step, even after like a demo reel, a lot of the times they'll send us something to test against. So giving us a scene to work to, or a certain animation or something like that to kind of design some sounds around, with a little bit of criteria involved in it. And usually they consider that what's like a sound design test. And as long as we're kind of fitting within the realms, looking, maybe might do a couple revisions on that, based on their feedback, to see how we would address their feedback, and can we kind of nail this on first, second or third pass, or whatever it is. And how do we respond to those changes that they're asking for? That's usually the kind of the second round. And then beyond that, it's kind of just us talking to them, them realize no knowing that, that we have the knowledge and the expertise to make, proper sound design aesthetics and choices and things like that. And kind of moving from there. Yeah, a
Okay.
lot of trust involved as well. That's a
But
big thing.
yeah, I would think so. Okay, so I was talking about Midnight Suns, and of course, as most comic book fans know, Marvel is very protective of their characters and their product. So how challenging was it working with the Marvel characters on Midnight Suns, and were they open pretty much to any creativity that you wanted to use on that project?
Marvel was great. And I think it comes from a little, it seems.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Seems like it's a little bit of a distinction between keeping the MCU a little separated from both the comics and the video game universes that they've established. And so, again, kind of back to what I was talking about, having a little bit of like established sounds. You know, there are characters that are obviously in the MCU that are very forefront now. I mean, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, everybody, they have like established sonic palettes, you know, in the movies now. And so normally with those kind of things, like, I mean, we talked about Lucasfilm or, you know, Star Wars and things like that. Those are very constrained. We can't, you know, you wouldn't be able to change a lightsaber sound, for example.
Right, exactly.
With Marvel, with Midnight Suns in particular, they were very open. We had a lot of freedom. But with the established characters, it was not so much like make sure they sound like the MCU. Is more like, as long as they're familiar, we had a lot of freedom. And so, like with Iron Man, for example, it was like, you know, you still kind of hear that charge up whine. It's not the exact, you know, kind of same thing as what's in the MCU, but it's close and it's reminiscent of it. It's just so it's recognizable and it doesn't sound too off from there. But then there's a whole host of characters in Midnight Suns that haven't been in the MCU. So we had a lot of freedom to kind of just like make them however we wanted. And Marvel's great. Marvel's great on that side. You know, we kind of just sent them things, you know, sent them different builds of the game, and they just loved it. So.
So how much, you know, speaking of that, how much feedback do they give you? I mean, like when you're like, in this case, like I said, these are characters people, you know, people may not be as familiar with, right? So you get a little bit more leeway, but do they give you a constant set of feedback, or do they pretty much just trust you to do what you knew to do?
There was a lot of good trust there. I didn't really have any sit down sessions with them. A lot of it was passed through production. If there was any notes, we would get stuff from them. And it was very little. Actually, the most stuff we got was probably on the music, and it was just more they wanted to make sure it just didn't tiptoe too much into MCU world, you know, because those are kind of, you know, there's contracts and all sorts of things like that, and licensing and all that kind of goes into play there. So the music was the kind of the bigger feedback, but even then it wasn't too much.
Cool. Okay, so you also worked on Sunblink's Hero-ish game. So what were the challenges on that project, and do budgetary restraints affect you at all as you're working on these kinds of games?
Budgets are always a concern. But that's always worked out up front, and if there's something during production or during the timelines, then we'll suss that out with production and the development teams and things like that. With Hero-ish itself, I think the challenges there was this is a game that on the surface looks kind of like, I mean, it, I don't know, it could be perceived as a mobile game or like something that's a smaller kind of indie title, but there's a lot of content in there, and they wanted a lot of content audio wise. They wanted everything represented very well and very uniquely. The audio director, Eric, who we were working for at that time, or, you know, last year, he was very detailed in a good way with what he wanted to hear. You know, I want to hear like ice crystals shattering, and it sounds like, you know, when you throw a rock onto a pond and it gets that, you know, those lasery sound, you know, he'd be very descriptive. And so for us to be able to capture that, but with every single sound in the game, having that much like descriptive detail of what he wanted, I think that was probably the biggest challenge. Is just kind of getting all those notes nailed down. But it came out great, and we're very proud of that game. We're very happy for Sunblink and their team. They have an awesome product there.
So is that common to get that kind of detailed, you know, descriptions of the kinds of sounds that they're looking for?
I would say no. You know, there are a lot of creative directors, audio directors, creative directors or developers, they'll give general guidelines. Hey, let's make it sound like this. Let's you know, let's put it kind of in this area, this realm, you know, they might reference other things that they like, you know, that they heard, you know, make it sound like the Lord of the Rings, this or that, you know, they'll pick out something, a lot of reference there, but to give very detailed, like almost like paint by numbers descriptions is kind of rare. And a lot of times they just leave it up to us to do it, but it was also very helpful because then we could know what he was looking for, exactly, and it gave us some guidance into where to go with that. But yeah, they did a great job on that.
Do you have a preference? Would you rather them give you that kind of direct input, or you know, kind of go wherever you want, you feel like you should be going?
Yeah, I think there's always collaboration is always the best. Leaving us completely bare is just as bad as like completely over, like, you know, almost micromanaging, you know,
right.
Which is not what Sunblake was doing. But I'm just saying, like, there's kind of two different sides to it. I think there's always a fair collaboration that can be made there. And that's what gets the best of everybody, because that, you know, helps us nail what, you know, helps us nail down what the developers want, but it also helps us really just kind of understand what they're trying to put out with the product, you know, because a lot of this visual, especially a lot of the visual things, I mean, I see the hero-ish, you know, kind of splash screen in the back over there, you know, the game on the surface it looks cartoonish, you know, and it's got a kind of a silly cartoon vibe a little bit, but there's a lot of serious, you know, kind of undertones to it, and they wanted it to have that in there, and not necessarily let's just go with, you know, boings and bonks and kind of funny silly stuff, because we easily could have gone that route, but he with that direction he was able to kind of guide us back into let's not go too far into that realm. Yeah.
Now you had mentioned previously talk about, you know, you didn't basically you'd returned to games that you did previously, and are those return customers as important to you as landing new accounts, as far as, you know, just establishing your business?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, they're probably like the most important thing, because they, you know, generally they kind of keep the lights on for, you know, as we're rolling and trying to expand our clientele. But yeah, they're absolutely very, very important.
All right. Okay. So well, that's pretty much what I got. I take it back. I lied to you. I said I wasn't going to add something, but I am. Just as a hypothetical, okay, say that, and some people can answer this and some can't. If, you know, say someone was making a time capsule and they wanted to capture the best of audio in video games, and they come to you, Gary, and said, I want you to pick two of your best works to put in here. What would you choose?
Ooh, two of my best works. Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, obviously Midnight Suns, we're very proud of what we ended up doing in there. There's a lot of stuff that we've done for Fortnite lately that I'm very proud of, that I'd probably throw in there as well. I think there'd probably be two of the top things, but I was gonna see this is a hard thing, because then I kind of go back to, like, for nostalgia reasons, I think of the stuff I did early on in my career, and it's just so, like, I'm just proud of that, just from the fact that I was able to accomplish it. And so, like, I think some of those early trailers and some early cinematics that I did, early work that I did, not that I mean, I look at the work now and I'm like, oh, I would totally do that different now, or, you know, what I would think, what I would hope is better now. But, you know, just I like looking at them to see where I've grown from. So some of those things might be thrown in that time capsule as well.
It was a hypothetical. You can throw anything you want in there, so that's fine. Right. Some people can't even pick one. You know, so they're like, they're all my children, and I can't pick from them.
Right. So that is a very tough question. But
So that's all right. All right. Well, that's what I got for you, and I thank you again for your time, Gary. But before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to possibly promote anything else you might have coming up that you can talk about. And where can our fans follow you and Injected Sense Audio, either on social media or the web?
Right. We're on Facebook and Twitter. So Twitter's at @injected_senses, and then Facebook is Injected Senses Audio. Upcoming, we got DLC, the next DLC, DLC 3 for Midnight Suns just came out, that had has Morbius in there, and a bunch
That's
of fun really stuff
cool.
And then DLC 4 is coming out soon. I can't give too many details about that, but it's coming out you know, shortly. And that's really all I can talk about right now.
Well, that's all right. Well, I appreciate it, Gary. And we're going to be following you and your work very closely, and hoping to get a chance to talk to you again in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you, Martin. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to GVN's Talking Comics. Please come back again. Talking Comics is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.